Make sense?
It does. But what we have done is gone totally off topic here.
Big surprise.
This is Talking to the Dead with Janet Kubik. I'm your host, Joe Oliva. Let me introduce you to the star of the show, friend to the world, Janet Kubik.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Do we admit to the audience that we couldn't even really get through the intro today without both of us giggling?
Not with the magic of editing.
Right. Yes. But we're very authentic. We're very authentic and truthful. So we might have to be honest and share that we both kind of ended up giggling our way through the first one. First time we did the intro.
It was completely seamless to them. Anyway. I'm going to intro this topic a specific way.
Okay.
When you see a friend on the street, I would see you, for example, and pre-pandemic times, I would probably hug you, right?
Yes.
Might shake someone's hand. There's an etiquette involved, right? When you're eating, you use certain utensils, right? There's etiquette involved. Mediums also have etiquette, right?
Yes, I would agree. Yep.
And I think we're going to center the show around that today. We have no idea where it's going to go. We never do. We're not in control, but I thought we could talk about medium etiquette, channeler etiquette. I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah.
And talk about how that works. You can't just randomly walk up to people and say, I have a message for you. You can ask them if they want a message. How does it all work? And how difficult was it from the beginning stages to learn the etiquette?
Yeah, well, it's like I said in previous episodes, when I first discovered this ability to communicate with spirit, I decided that that meant I was going to save the world. So anytime I received any kind of information, my first instinct was to share it. And I was receiving a lot of information, and so I was trying to share a lot of information with a lot of people. But what I have learned, and actually too, what mentors that I've worked with have sort of expressed to me and taught me, is that there is an etiquette. We don't just, you know, walk up to some random person on the street and start talking to them about their personal lives. Needs to be, right? Might be a little awkward. So there are some sort of boundaries that need to happen. It's not to say that I'm not sometimes getting information for people that I want to share, but it's not my responsibility to do so unless that is something that they would like to have happen. So I've come to sort of understand that if I am receiving information for someone, the first thing that I will do is sort of approach them with the idea of the fact that I am a medium and that I am feeling as though I'm receiving something for them, and I ask them if they would like me to share it. And
Time out. What was the first time doing that like? Walking up to a complete stranger?
Actually, I remember it very clearly.
As you should.
The first time I did sort of what you might call like a random read, or I've heard that expression before, like where it's just sort of, nope, it's not somebody you know, and you didn't plan it. It wasn't an appointment. It just was something that happened. And it was the first time that I got enough confidence to actually do it. And I was out for dinner with my girlfriends. And I had been sharing some messages for them throughout the evening. So there was a lot going on at our table. And every time the waitress came over, I think she sort of felt like she was kind of walking in, you know, into a very personal conversation or a personal sort of situation, because there were some tears. There was some pretty intense stuff going on, and it happened to her every time she'd come over to see how we were doing. And finally, at the end of the evening, it was a very long evening, so she'd been, you know, around for quite some time dealing with us. I just remember kind of looking up to her, and it popped out of my mouth, "Do you know what a medium is?"
But she knew what was going on at the table, or did she just see tears and not know what was going on?
Yeah, she had no idea. Because every time she'd come over, we would hush, right? Like we would stop the conversation, I'd sort of put spirit on hold, and, you know, we'd answer her questions like, yes, the steak is yummy, or the, you know, potato's great. And we just kind of like wait till she left to resume what we were talking about. So this probably came completely out of left field for her, and her eyes kind of widened. And then of course you've got to wonder, like, why is somebody asking you that?
Right.
But I just felt compelled, and she did know what sort of the role of a medium was, that, you know,
right,
a conduit between the living and the dead. And I said, I feel like I might have some messages for you. Would you like me to share them? And very apprehensively, but almost excitedly, she said, yes, I do. And it just started to flow. She received so many messages. I distinctly remember an aunt coming through, because her aunt had bright red curly hair and used to love to do her makeup. And so there was a lot of very distinct things that came forward that she was really able to connect with and really validate for her where these messages were coming from. We talked about her her future plans, her schooling, and other family situations, I think with a brother. And so it was the first time where I'd really just kind of put myself out there and let it happen. And it was a really wonderful experience. And, you know, she was extremely thankful, and it ended up being great. So that was awesome for me, because it sort of opened the doors for me to start sort of expanding in terms of delivering messages outside of my comfort zone a little bit.
Meanwhile, all the other tables were neglected while she sat at your table.
Well, to be honest, at that point, I think we were there so late, we were probably the only table left. So that's okay. But yeah, so in terms of, you know, having these messages and how to deliver them, like you said, you can't just really kind of walk up to people and blurt out, you know, your dead grandfather's telling me such and such, or, you know, this person who's passed has this message for you, even though you feel compelled, because I feel like spirit is really wanting to make those connections. But also just in my case, very enthusiastic, very, very much wanting to help people.
It's like you have a secret for them, and you know it will benefit them, but you haven't been given authority yet to tell them what that information is.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Another way it kind of comes to me is that you feel like you have some missing pieces to their puzzle.
Right.
Right? I feel like, oh, if I could just share this piece of information with you, that might shed a lot of light on what you're going through or what you're experiencing, or it could have a really great positive impact on your situation. But what I've come to realize is that that's not my call.
Right.
It's not up to me to decide. And I've really learned to trust that if the messages are intended to be received and heard by those other than me, that spirit will facilitate that. So I even get to the point now where I'm like, okay, I know you're there. I know you have messages. I know you want me to say this to this person, but I need to know that it's okay to approach them. So you need to sort of make a situation arise whereby it's naturally going to happen that I can start this conversation, or that I can comfortably ask this person this question. And it always happens that if the messages are really meant to be heard at that point by the receiver, and not me as the receiver, but as the person I'm sharing for, then the circumstances, if I'm patient, will unfold for me to deliver those messages. And sometimes it's not immediate. Sometimes I will receive messages for people and I'll want to pick up the phone and call them right away. And that's just not the way it plays out. So, you know, 2 days later, I might have a conversation with that person, and somehow there's a very natural lead in to the information that I've been given. And then I'm like, okay, this is showing me that the time is now appropriate for me to approach this. And then again, still, approaching it from the perspective of not blurting out, you know, what I've heard or what I know or what I've received, but allowing that person just to be aware that that has happened or that that information is there and that it's the ball is in their court. Sorry about the Raptors. but the ball is in their court and they can decide if they would like to receive from me what I have received from Spirit.
Okay, yes. Thank you for your condolences on the Raptors. They played a good game. They fought hard, so I was happy. The better team won. Other team, they were stronger, younger, they weren't injured. Well, they had one injured guy. Anyway, I was happy with their season. So
You didn't call me crying, so I assumed that it was okay. Okay.
And in terms of boundaries, when we first sort of started going together on this journey, let's call it, you had some messages for me, and you kept asking me, like, do you want to hear? And I said to you, do you remember what I said?
No.
I always want to hear it. You don't have to ask anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So you can call me whenever you want and just say, hey, I got a message.
That's right. You did say that.
And I think most people would say they want to know. Have you ever encountered someone that said, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I have. And I think it's just really a reflection of a person's experience and where they are in their life and how they are dealing with their own personal situation. So the other piece of that is that, you know, sometimes the messages come forward from Spirit that have had a difficult connection or a challenging connection with the people who are here. Right. So they might be where they are now and they see the bigger picture and they've left behind sort of all of their egoic structures. So they might be a very different entity in a lot of ways from who they were when they were here.
Right.
And a lot of times Spirit is anxious, I think, to come forward and make that connection now that they are where they are. But the people who are left behind are still dealing with that person in the way that they were when they were here. And so sometimes they're not ready to hear from that loved one or that person from the other side. Sometimes they're just not comfortable with hearing from that person. And so they have to have the right to decide and to determine for themselves what they're ready for and what they're not. And also, too, it depends on, or it can depend on a person's beliefs or ideas of Spirit, like we've talked about previously, and Spirit's role. So some people aren't comfortable with the idea of hearing messages from Spirit. Some people don't feel comfortable with acknowledging that Spirit exists. Some people are still nervous about the concept of Spirit or who they are or what they are. So even though my intention is to always help, it's really up to that person to determine how I help. And if I help them, and it's not just up to me.
You talked about boundaries and sort of on this side of things, but what about some of the boundaries that you have to set on the other side of things? How does that work? Because that was something you had to deal with right at the beginning.
Yeah, too true. So, you know, as I've mentioned before, you know, very eager and very excited when all of this began for me. And so I was allowing all sorts of information to come forward. I would go into a public place and I would almost be looking for people that I could help and that I could share messages for. And so, you know, Spirit kind of came flocking and giving me all sorts of information to be shared. But that wasn't healthy for me. It was too much. And so I had to learn to sort of say to Spirit, okay, I will deliver these messages. But again, I just was sort of referencing this. You need to help me make this the situation or the circumstances arise where that can happen. And if not, then you need to just be quiet. You need to just kind of step back. Whereas in the beginning, I was just taking on all of the information regardless as to whether or not it could be delivered or not. So now I'm much more not selective, I wouldn't say that's the word, but I'm much more adamant about only receiving from spirit what is really in the best interest of me to receive and for the receiver to receive.
Right. And now you're a little bit more adamant about finding out who's calling, in a sense, right?
Yes.
You still don't do it as much as I would. I would every single time say, who is this? Even I think last week, Myrtle came forward and you were like, at the beginning, you didn't say, oh, it's Myrtle. Maybe you just knew it was Myrtle. And then we had another episode a few back where it was like, oh, it's like a random pope, but like you couldn't identify him. And then like I would always say, like, I want to Google you right now, whoever you are. Yeah. That's just my nature. Like, I want to know like specifics.
Well, that's funny that you say that, like, you know, how you would approach it. Cause I think honestly, that is just a personal quirk of mine. And if you ask my mentors, you know, one of the very first things that they said to me was, if you're going to pick up the phone, you need to know who you're talking to. Right. So in other words, if you're going to allow yourself to connect with spirit or allow spirit to connect with you, you need to know who you're speaking with.
Caller ID.
Yes. You need to
It's one of those duck cleaning services or something like that. Right.
Yes. And you end up sitting there thinking, thank you very much, but no, thank you. No, totally true. But I think what it is for me, and this is just a little personal information on myself, is that I get a bit nervous with discovering who is speaking to me, because I feel a bit of pressure. It's almost easier for me to deliver the message without sort of specifically saying who it's from, because if I say who it's from, I might be wrong. Or I feel like there's more pressure for me to get it right.
I know what you're saying, because we've talked about this before, so I can explain it maybe in different words. Okay. Sometimes when I said this to you before, I don't know if you agree with it or not, but I've said when you're receiving messages, they're not always so perfectly clear. It's almost like you remember that game Charades when you're young, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to kind of act stuff up. That's kind of what it's like. Like you're sometimes, I mean, that's the best analogy for me who doesn't have the enhanced abilities that you have. But I've said to people, sometimes it's like she's playing charades with someone. And so she's not getting everything. So it's like two words, sounds like, you know, and it's like, and that's kind of how the messages seem to come forward from my perspective, right?
Yes.
And so sometimes you'll say to people, and I've seen it happen, where you'll say, it's a male energy, it's a grandfather figure. And then they'll say, oh, my grandfathers are both living. Right now, both of their first of all, you're able to receive from living higher selves, so it could be them, or it could be a great grandfather, or a great great grandfather, or a great uncle, or an uncle that died in the womb that the family didn't even know about. Like, there are just so many things it could be.
Yes.
But usually, when you say male energy or female energy, usually in that regard, you're usually spot on, but the exact like family tree sometimes is hard for you to figure out, right?
Yes, agreed. And I think that, you know, almost leads into a bigger piece of it too, where, you know, because mediumship sort of has the reputation that it does in a lot of ways, which isn't maybe the best, because it's new to me, or relatively new now, because it was something that I, you know, threw me for an entire loop. I felt a pressure to be getting it right. And I felt like if I wasn't nailing it or getting the hits right away, or if I didn't say, you know, it's your grandfather on your mother's side and his name is Earl, that somehow I would be giving a bad impression, or people would question me or question that spirit was coming through me, that I wasn't giving enough confidence in the person, in that I actually am hearing from your grandfather. I just don't know in this moment what his name is, or I'm just not getting which side of the family he's from. I just really also wanted to offer as much validation as I possibly could.
Right. So quick term for people. When you say hits or validation, you're mm-hmm. talking about the like kind of wow moments, I guess they could be called, where you say, I'm seeing a male figure, grandfather figure, name sounds like John. And then they'll say, oh my God, my grandfather's name is Sean. Wow, you got it, right? Because it's like so close. That's what they call validation or hits in your space. So when you're watching a show like Long Island Medium or Hollywood Medium, whatever, they're going to edit the, and I've heard people say, oh, they're just taking the best parts. Of course they are, right?
Yes.
Because some of the other stuff is a little bit harder to interpret. So those are the things that you see on television. If someone sees a live reading with you, I know from personal experience that everything that you're saying, if they were open enough, that it would all make sense.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes when you say grandfather, they get fixated on grandfather and they're not realizing it could be their great-grandfather. So maybe someone they've never met, right?
Yes.
And so then they get fixated and go, no, he had blue eyes, and you're saying he had brown eyes, you know, and it's this whole thing. I've seen it happen.
It's true. Yes.
Usually when people walk away, we've recorded you reading for people or doing one-on-ones. Usually the next day they'll message me and going, all those things that Janet said that I couldn't figure out, I figured them all out now because they've had time to process it. Like I got a call from my cousin who came in and an hour later, I don't know if you remember, I was at your house pre-pandemic. And an hour later he's texting me and saying, oh, it's this, it's that. And he was putting it all together, right?
Yes. That really tends to happen a fair bit. It's just because there's so much information and a lot of times it comes out of left field, right? Like a lot of times people will come to me looking for specific information and they want to know certain things, but often I say spirit, and what I've experienced is that spirit brings forward more what you need to hear than what you want to hear specifically.
Right.
And so sometimes you're just not in that frame of mind. They're bringing something up that you hadn't thought of at all, or it wasn't on your wish list of, you know, questions that they might answer. Or with people, like with spirits or energies that come forward, it may be someone that you've never even met before. So that happens a lot. Somebody says, well, I never met my great grandfather.
Right.
I'm like, well, that doesn't really matter. But then it just doesn't seem to fit. And that's one of the reasons too, why I think you and I from day one have sort of, when we've shared some of the one-on-ones we've done, if they're on the website, I think now, we've gone with a longer edit because it's important to me for people to really truly understand mediumship and what it entails and what it's like, and that it's not just, you know, these half hour TV shows where they're dealing with three or four different clients or people and they're just showing the hits or the validation. There's a lot more to it. And I think in order for people to really understand that connection with spirit and have more faith and trust in it, they need to understand the reality of it. There are times where spirit will come forward and they will give me their full name, their age, where they're from. If that's what the person I'm receiving for really needs to hear, that's what they will bring forward. But that's not how it always is. And that sort of also leads into the other thing that, you know, you and I have talked about many, many times. It's like, what are you trying to get from your time with me and with spirit, for example, in one-on-one? Are you looking for me to just specifically answer your specific questions? Are you looking for me to sort of prove to you that spirit does exist? Are you looking to get a deeper insight into what's happening in your experience? There's a lot of different things that can come forward, and I find that the appointments tend to suit what the person is looking for. But in those situations where someone is just sort of specifically looking for validation, it can be a little harder, because I find for myself personally, and this may be totally different with other mediums, but for me personally, I feel like it puts me on guard. I feel like it puts me on edge. In fact, my ego starts to kind of creep in, and I start to worry that I am going to fail, or that I'm not going to give them what they're looking for. And I think that all sort of ties back into that idea of me shying away from really specifically getting validation in terms of who I'm speaking with.
So what, in your view, is the best mindset for someone to walk in to one-on-one with?
Well, I mean, honestly, again, I am such a believer in individuality. I am such a believer in personal experience, that whatever it is for you is what it is, and it's what it needs to be. And I've come to trust and believe that spirit is aware of that, and they work with me to provide what the person needs. But often how I would sort of refer to it, or if I'm sort of prepping someone for a one-on-one, or, you know, I kind of say, for me, if you approach it just like a conversation, it's a conversation. There's just a voice or voices that are a part of that conversation that you may not be able to see. For me personally, that sort of puts me more at ease and allows me to be more open, because what I found is that the more I can relax my own ego, and I think this is a general lesson for everybody in life, the more we can set aside our ego or calm our ego, the better the results. And I think, again, that's in anything that we do in life. And for me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, I've experienced that with spirit, because when I can let my ego go and sort of sit in the corner for a while, then all of a sudden I become more open, I become more comfortable, and the information flows with much greater ease. And in those situations, more comes forward, I feel, for the person than if I'm sort of on guard. Make sense?
It does. But what we have done is gone totally off topic here.
Big surprise.
So getting back to medium etiquette, I do have a question.
Sure, yeah.
Sort of to try and get it back on the rails here. Do you ever get a message and not share it because you think it's going to hurt the person or harm the person?
That's another one that's really hard. That's another piece of being a medium that can be a real challenge, and something that I've had to learn to work with. I have to, as much as is possible, remove myself from the situation. So I have had to develop a trust and faith in spirit that if I am receiving information, I am receiving it because it is in the best interest of the person who needs to hear it, or who they're intending it for.
Even if it harms them in the short term, it harms them emotionally or something like that.
Yeah. So then again, the next piece in that is I've heard from spirit saying, okay, this message needs to come forward at this time. Now I have to take it the next step, which is, again, like we talked about at the beginning of the episode, approaching the person, the living person who's going to receive the message, and letting them know that there is message for them, and asking for their permission to share it.
Right.
So that's kind of the two-step process for me. And it also sort of ties into, again, a much bigger idea or concept about sometimes not great news is actually ultimately in the long run good news.
Right.
So it's sort of trusting that even though this may not be something someone would like to hear in the moment, that it is actually serving their best interest.
Their highest interest.
The highest good, the best interest. These are some of the terms that I've come to know and to work with. So that's tricky. And I mean, no one wants to be the bearer of bad news or news that you feel could be hurtful or information you feel could be hurtful to someone. Again, I've had to come to terms with the fact that if I am going to accept my role as a medium and if I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, then ultimately those choices are not mine. It's not what I mean by that. The choices are not mine is that it's not my choice to, the word stifle information or to hold back. It's at that point, spirit has made a relationship with the person I'm receiving for, and the information is going through me between the two of them. Does that make sense?
Yep. That's literally what medium kind of means, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You're in the middle.
I'm in the middle. And sometimes that means I do have to put my own self aside, my own ego aside, my own fears aside, my own, you know, concern aside. But ultimately, with that said too, I am in control of my experience. So I am making that decision to allow that relationship to flow through me. And if I felt for some reason that it was not in my best interest to allow that to happen, then I would step out of that. And I would not accept that responsibility from spirit. I would not accept that responsibility from the person I'm sharing for. Often before I go into a one-on-one, like when I know that I'm going to be receiving for someone, I will say that I'm only open to receiving information and making connections with spirit or the spirit realm that serve the receiver's highest good as well as my own highest good.
Right.
And that's sort of the way I've set things up. So I'm taking care of myself. I'm also taking care of the person, and I'm also respecting and taking care of spirit at the same time.
Okay. Another interesting episode of Talking to the Dead. Thanks, Janet, for popping in and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. You're watching and or listening to Talking to the Dead with Janet Kubik. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to subscribe on whichever platform you're joining us on. And help spread the word by sharing, and be sure to visit janetkubik.com and sign up for her email list. Bye, Janet.
Bye. Thanks for checking in. Can we try to start another episode and see what happens? And see, I still have this Patrick Swayze thing kind of there.